I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Councilmember Spohr was in late today and did not say he would not be here, so I assume he'll be here.
Okay. I want to welcome everybody. I guess we'll call, we're missing Councilmember Mark Spohr for now anyway. Next is citizen input, so if a citizen out there would like to address the council with something that's council business, raise your hand, you can come up to the mic, I'll give you 5 minutes, give us your name and address. Do you have something to address us with?
Yes.
Okay, come on up to the mic right there.
Okay, my name is Brianna Alzola, and you need my address too?
Yes.
Okay, I live at 775 North, Road O Southeast, Moses Lake.
Okay.
And I am, I think most of you know me, but if you don't, I am the reporter at the Othello Outlook. And I am talking to you guys today because it is obvious from the recent council meetings that some members of the council have been dissatisfied with some of my articles that have been published recently. And I wanted to come forward and say that I would like to talk to you guys about if you have a problem with something that I've written and you think that it is inaccurate, that you could call me directly when the article comes out, and I will look into it and make sure that there are no factual inaccuracies. You know, I'm not saying that you can tell me what to write, because obviously that's not what journalism is about, but I think that it's important that there's an open channel of communication, that if you think that I have actually made a factual error in my stories, that you come talk to me instead of just talking about it at council meetings, because that way I can actually do something about it. Whereas a council meeting usually comes out, you know, long enough after the paper comes out that it's too late to run a correction or anything like that. So I have some business cards that I can give to you after the meeting so that you have my contact information to make sure that you let me know if you think that I have made an error in one of my stories.
All right. Well, thank you.
And she's also a WSU grad.
Oh, go Cougs. Okay. All right. Anybody else in the audience that would like to address the council? Okay. Do I hear an approval for the agenda from the council?
I'll make that motion.
Mark Snyder?
I'll second it.
Okay. Ken Kaler? Any discussion? Okay. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
The same if you oppose. Okay, that passes. Consent agenda. Do I hear a motion for the consent agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Dan Deaver, okay, and then Ken Johnson. Any discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
And oppose the same. Okay, Eamon, you had something you wanted to say?
We, as you know, we have a council audit committee that reviews the vouchers, which you just approved, and I'd like to thank Councilmember Spohr today. He found a procedural error. A couple of the vouchers were not signed as they should have been. Had they been allowed to continue and the auditors would have found them, we could have had findings. So I'd like to thank him for that, and we did correct that mistake.
Great. Thank you. Okay, special presentation, Pioneer Park, Marty Yeager.
Good evening.
Good evening.
Thank you for letting me come and tell you about a project I really feel strongly about. When my parents and I came in 1937, the Pioneer Park was being laid out and put in, and it was done by people that I eventually knew very well, and who they were was Sam Knepper and Mr. Hoke. And Sam Knepper's wife had the little variety store where the honey shop is now, to give you some idea of, they were here a long time before we came. So I thought it would be a very appropriate time for a dedication of a plaque to put maybe on the gazebo or somewhere in the park. And I would pay for it, And there's a place in Moses Lake that does that kind of work with a plaque. And I'll pass around what it will look like. It's very simple, nothing very spectacular. I just thought it'd be a very auspicious time to put something in the park about them, because they were here for many years and were a very vibrant part of the community.
Any council members have any questions for Mrs. Yeager?
I might make one comment here. I think it's long overdue. I think something should have been put in years ago, something to do with the Pioneer Park and the reason it was there and how it got to be. So I think this is something that should have been done years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, do I hear the council to approve the recognition plaque to be placed in a Pioneer Park? Is this a motion?
I so move.
Okay, Ken Kaler?
Second.
Mark Snyder? Okay, any other discussion?
So we don't offend anybody and get it right the first time, this is historically accurate, confirmed that these two gentlemen are responsible for the park and the only two?
I will put it together and get it done over in Moses Lake and bring it to whoever you think should have it to put up.
No, I'm sorry. This is historically accurate that these two gentlemen are the ones that did the park. Will somebody be offended if they thought they planted the park or were involved with the park?
No. They were very happy to have it done early on.
Now, what Mark is saying is, there anybody else we may have forgotten that was involved in building the park? These are the only two gentlemen that were involved?
I'm sorry, again.
Is there any other gentlemen that were involved in building the park? Nope, just the two gentlemen on this?
Just these two gentlemen, as far as I know. That's all I saw working there. And they spent a lot of time putting it in. As a sideline, I know Mr. Knepper was quite a gardener, because they had quite a nice garden right beside the little variety store that Aunt Tilly had, that Mrs. Knepper had. And so, actually, I think that's a very appropriate plaque, because they did maintain it and take care of it for quite a few years.
Okay. All right, we have a motion. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes.
Okay.
And thank you very much for bringing that to our attention.
Okay.
Final review of Main Street Project, Larry Julius and Taylor Denning. Oh, man, look at all that people.
One project. Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Nice to see you again. We have been diligently working on the Main Street project. Actually, we're calling it the 2010 Street and Infrastructure Improvements, because not only does it entail Main Street, but it also includes the walking path and sidewalk on the north side of Lions Park, the parking lot extension on the south side of Lions Park at about 10th, alley entrances around town that needed some concrete pads, and the construction of Olympia Street, the north half of it, from 4th Avenue to 7th Avenue. So, and also the traffic signals. We have numerous schedules of work that we have split off so that when we do get the bids, we can see where the prices come in, and are leaving them what's called optional with owner. In particular, the traffic signals, the alley entrances, and the beautification, the conduits and tubing that we talked about a month or so ago. So if any of those prices come in unfavorable, we do not have to award. And in a minute, Taylor's gonna show a couple of slides comparing where we are now dollar-wise to where we were when we first came to council with the package back in January. But real briefly, schedule-wise, we are right on schedule from what we predicted back in January. We anticipate a bid opening of June 8th and actually start advertising for bids a week from this Thursday. So you'll see quite a lengthy legal advertisement in the paper here, and also one called the Seattle Daily Journal of Commerce, which is the newspaper that pretty much all the contractors in the Northwest read. We also anticipate coming back to council at the meeting on June 14th with bid tabulations and a recommendation, whichever way it goes, for award. And then we still anticipate the contractor to begin work in June, probably the last Monday in June on the 28th. Because it takes a couple of weeks, once we've had a bid opening and award, for the contractor to get their bond, insurance, and paperwork together so we can get contracts signed. So that'll be a busy couple of weeks after the bids are awarded, actually from the bid opening on. On the Main Street project itself, just to put it in perspective, the grinding and overlaying portion is about 58,000 square yards. Or square feet-wise, it's about 520,000 square feet from one end to the other. There's about 7,000 feet of water main pipe and about 9,000 feet of storm sewer pipe. A number of catch basins, manholes, fire hydrants, water services, some concrete curb, gutter, and sidewalk that needs repair, or in areas where we're tearing it out to put in, say, a fire hydrant, the patching that has to go on to repair that. It's a very large project. We expect to see a lot of contractors, not only contractors from Eastern Washington, but Western Washington. We've been seeing a trend of a lot of utility and road contractors the last couple of years very interested in projects, especially of this size and magnitude. And we figure it will take approximately 5 months to construct. That includes the Main Street portion and Olympia Street and the other portions of the project. If the traffic signals are awarded, traffic signals take a long time once they've been awarded to when they actually get onto the site, because they're specifically built one by one. And it could be, we figure, 7 months to completely obtain and construct, get the traffic signals up and running. But fortunately, that can be done, especially if we get the foundation in before any inclement weather hits us. So we're looking at starting construction toward the end of June, having the bulk of it done toward in the middle of November, and then if we do choose to include the traffic signals, then those will be actually, we think, operational by about the end of January. If the contractor can expedite the process, we'll be in favor of that. It just depends upon how many crews, how many personnel, equipment the contractor gets out here, and the staging or the scenario involved with the construction. And that's one of the first things we'll be talking to the contractor about once we know who it is, how they're going to stage this. We also anticipate having at least one or two meetings with the business owners along Main Street once we know who the contractor is and what they're going to be doing, so we can keep them apprised of how the construction is going to affect their business. We also would like to include a couple of signs that the contractor has to build and set up that says businesses are open on this block. We can just keep it that simple, or we can get it as elaborate as listing out who each of the different businesses are. Depends upon how complicated we want to make things. But we found in the past signs like that, letting people know businesses are open, business as usual, is very helpful. And with that, Taylor, if you could talk us through where we are cost-wise, that would be great.
Before we move on, Council, do you have any questions on the part that we just went over, Larry did?
Well, that was one of my questions. It was going to be to you. If there was any plans on different phases of the Main Street, are they going to take it all out at once, or are you looking at four blocks at a time? Or
we like to leave a lot of that to the discretion of the contractor. The methods and means of constructions, if we constrain them too much, typically the prices go up. But we're looking at, if we were staging this, they would do the grinding first, get all of that out of the way for the entire length and width of the project. That would probably take, about a week to do? And then, if it was me, I'd get two crews out here, start on the very west end of town, or the road, and put the two pipeline systems in. start the water main at Broadway and work east, and then start the storm sewer at Railroad and work east. That way it's going to be congested for about a month, but it's in and done. Otherwise, we could see the contractor tearing up each intersection a couple different times throughout the whole summer. But I think the one thing we'll probably see is the road will be ground down the 2 inches or so where the overlay is going in for pretty much the entire length of the job. And we'll build in, they have to put in little transitional ramps where we tie back into intersections where we aren't doing the grinding and overlay. So there'll be a smooth transition instead of just a bump. And the contractor will have a lot of traffic control. So there'll be flaggers, people out here keeping aware of what's going on with traffic.
Will this is the standard more or less that they do like half north and south, so they won't have to divert traffic that through residential?
Right.
Okay, so there'll be a couple lanes open at least. We'll have to cone them into.
Right. Okay. We'll require them to do one half of the road at a time, north half versus south half.
Okay.
And I think it makes more sense to do the north half first, but in 30 years of doing this, contractors are always doing it different.
Great, thank you.
When you put up the bid about the grinding and stuff like that, is there any way to retain those for the city? The grinding?
In fact, we're reusing them on the construction of the Olympia Street portion, and wherever they can be used on the site. We've talked to Public Works crews about any leftovers, if they could be stockpiled somewhere for the city to use.
Yeah. We always stockpile them.
Yeah, we
have some still.
Yeah.
Because I know on the state project, I ended up buying all those.
Yep.
So it's it's a lot of money that's kind of left out there.
Okay. Smart thing to do.
Mark, did you have a question?
I guess a comment. I think it would be better, I know we need to start it as soon as possible, but we have the 4th of July. If we could delay it 1 week.
Well, if they just grind it though, that's travel. You can travel
that's
on
travelable.
That.
That's travelable.
But I've had the same thought. That's a bad time around here to. But if they just remove it and let it drivable, I don't know if it'll be a big issue.
It's pretty typical, at least the first week, for contractors to be getting submittals and paperwork together, especially of a job of this magnitude. So it may be that they won't even be out to site for a week or two after it's been awarded and the time starts on the job. But we can definitely write into the specifications, no construction starting until after would be July 5th.
Eamon, do you have a question?
That's a good point.
Larry, on the other end of the project, we're going into November. Can you speak to temperature versus asphalt application? Mm-hmm.
Typically, the asphalt plants, well, of course, it's all weather related, but we've seen the last few years them staying open till Thanksgiving. And a job of this magnitude, we've had the plants say, if you need asphalt, we'll stay open. Because we're talking, about 10,000 tons of asphalt. So that's, City of Othello is going to make a lot of contractors happy.
Yeah. Time to eat lunch in Othello.
Stay in our hotels.
They typically do. Yes.
Okay. Well, we better scoot along. I'm sure we'll have more questions as we go. So go ahead.
Thank you.
You may recognize this. This is a spreadsheet that we showed you in January. At that time, we had Main Street phased out. We were discussing possibly awarding separate phases. The city decided to go ahead and do all three phases. This shows a total cost, including traffic signals, of just under $6.5 million. Without traffic signals, about $5.2 million. Going through
this is strictly Main Street, doesn't include the cost for the other projects that were mentioned?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct.
Yeah, the city had budgeted in the 2010 budget for separately for Olympia Street, the park, and the alleyways. And we'll be working with Mike and the bond council as we get closer to bid opening, and of course after the bid opening, to see where we are dollar-wise so that everything will come together, hopefully, very smoothly.
Good.
Thank you. Oh, and this doesn't include the traffic signals, which are another dozen pages.
You got by easy, Larry.
I would just like to say, Larry, on kind of a sub-note, me and Charles Garcia, we picked a scholarship recipient. We just want to thank you for your participation in that, and I'm glad to be dealing with you.
It's our pleasure. It's always good to see the youth of the community moving forward, and I just hope this young person thinks Wazoo is a good place to go to school.
Oops.
He's a good kid.
Yeah, he's a good kid, no matter where he goes.
Okay. I guess they sat down. Is there any other questions by the council before? There's no action to be done on this, so. That's it then, I guess. Okay. Well, thank you for coming, you guys.
In touch with Jay and Terry and the crew almost on a daily basis. They've actually been excellent to work with. This is one of the only projects I've worked on in over 30 years where the communication with the public works crew has been spot on. Typically, we don't get this much involvement, or they don't get that much involvement, but it's been an excellent back and forth discussion.
Good. Okay, contract with Barracuda Swim Team. Eamon.
Good evening. You have before you the contract with the Barracuda Swim Team, and recall that this is a successive number of years that we've contracted with the swim team. What we did this year was decided instead of having negotiations in the council forum, we would do that first and bring you a contract that was agreed upon by the Barracuda Swim Team and the city staff. So before you, you have basically the same contract that was approved last year with some changes. The pool committee consisting of Mark Snyder, Mark Spohr, and Tina. Thank you. And Ken, didn't you used to be on it? Yeah. Well, they reviewed the contract also, and the dollar fee recommendation per training day was recommended to go from $30 to $40, which is reflected in this contract and agreed to by the Barracuda Swim Team. In addition, the number of days have changed and the times have changed from last year. The very last page that you have in your packet identifies the confirmed swim team, swim dates. Thank you. So they did provide this to us so you can see the dates and times of the pool tournaments. And other than that, the basic document remains the same, and the staff would recommend that you motion to approve the contract.
Questions from council?
So it basically turned out no Saturday tournaments then?
Is that right? Thank you. Yes, I didn't look up the days relative to dates, but Mr. Spark says that's right.
Good. Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the Barracuda's contract?
Move that motion.
Charles first, and Dan your second? Okay. Any other discussion? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes then.
Just a date packed along with this. The last day of school is June 11th, which is a Friday, and the first day the pool will be open is June 12th, Saturday.
Good. Okay, authorization for mayor to sign TRT agreement. Steve.
Good evening, Mr. Mayor and Council. Before you is a request to allow the police department to continue to participation in the TRT, which is the Tactical Response Team. This is a team that's made up from members from various police agencies in Grant and Adams County. They train together to handle those specialized situations from time to time, and the police department has participated in that, has a long history in it. Right now, we do not have anybody that's currently assigned to the team, but when we do have somebody that's qualified, we want to be able to do that. This is merely an upgrade to past TRT interlocal agreements with Moses Lake and the other agencies that are involved. And in order for us to participate, continue, we need to update that with the mayor's signature. So the request is to allow the mayor to sign this interlocal agreement so that we can continue our participation. And we do recommend that we do this.
Questions for Chief Steve? Okay, do I hear a motion to allow Mayor Tim Wilson to sign this interlocal agreement authorizing the Othello Police Department to continue their participation in TRT?
So moved.
Second. Gina? Okay, and then Ken Johnson? Any other discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes.
Thanks,
you, Chief. Okay. Port District request for reimbursement, SR 26 Reynolds Road Water Crossing. And that's council. Discussions, motion.
I'll go ahead and make the motion that we. This needs to be put a certain way. That we authorize the payments of. Port District. It was for $12,000.
It's almost $12,000.
Almost $12,000.
Second.
Dan second. Okay, so Ken Johnson was first. Any discussion?
Just a comment, Mayor. If you're making the motion as it benefits the city for payment, is that correct?
Yes.
So it gets in the minutes.
Okay. Okay. Any discussion?
As I understand, it was explained to me, when you came to that corner of Reynolds and 26, there was a T there. And the T was so it could make the 90-degree turn and then have an extension east. And that was capped. So if there was development to the east, we were all set up to go. And so the port was the one that wanted water to the south. So the only reason they had to put that new valve in that they're asking reimbursement for is for the southern delivery of water. And I don't know how they're telling us that benefits Othello when we already had all our directions covered. So I don't feel that we should reimburse them. The second point is, as I mentioned before, is the citizens and the businesses pay the Port of Othello through property taxes. And what I would like to see in a manner of cooperation and agreement and both going down the same path is the port coming to us and saying, thank you for the money you give to us. $11,000 of that went toward this valve or whatever it is they put in. And that's where part of your money went, and let's keep going on. And I think asking for this reimbursement is just basically double dipping. And I say no.
Contrary to the first meeting when it was left on the table and really was getting kicked to death, I went back and did some homework with this. And in all reality, exception that we have boundaries, we are all one and the same. We all have the same outlook. We all want to develop this community and the surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. And in a at the end of the day, does it benefit the city of Othello in the long run? I sure hope so, because I want to believe that, and I believe that to be true. I mean, whether we call it double dipping, whatever you want to call it, at the end of the day is they're out a bunch of money. At the end of the story, is it going to have a happy ending for the city of Othello? I believe so. I do believe that. So, you know, with that, I think it's a good faith gesture. I believe it's going to be karma's going to pay come back to us, and it's going to be repaid in full somewhere down the road, maybe not in my lifetime, who knows? But I do believe that to be true. And without them, there's no us. So.
And I looked at it using the South Broadway project, and I believe that'll tie in very nicely to what we need there, to when we eventually loop that whole system in that way.
That's kind of my feeling too. I think if you look back, that those vows are obsolete anyway. So I believe that it should have been up to the city to replace those. And I think whether we added an extra valve or not, it was a benefit to us to make this happen. And it still makes a good relationship between us and the port.
We're running out of direction.
Things could be a long-term benefit over time that needs to be settled and done, and then we don't have to worry about it again, and whether we go east, north, south, west, whatever, it's always ready, and it meets state and federal regulations to be ready to be hooked into. So I think we need to do it.
If a business were to hook up to that line, wouldn't the business have to pay for that?
Say it again.
If the business were to hook up to that line, don't they pay for that? City pays for that?
A business pays for any line required for their facility. But to recover cost of an installed line, there would have to be an additional tap charge ordinance adopted by the council. Which, given that it's a valve, as I understand it, on the north side of the highway, it would be rather hard to calculate how much of the value goes which direction to assess it against any future tappers. I mean, the council could attempt that if you wish. You can do that, but it might be hard.
I call for question.
Okay. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed the same?
Aye.
Okay, Mark. Okay.
Just for the record, administratively, if somebody calls for the question, it has to be voted on, because that ends the discussion, and that needs to be voted on. So we missed that step.
Huh? We did go right to the vote.
No, when you call for question, that basically calls for ending discussion, and that has to be voted on to end discussion before you vote on the original motion.
Mr. Sport. Under our rules, it is, you are correct, if a member of the body does not wish to end the discussion, they call for a vote. If no one calls for the vote, that they are content to let the discussion end, then you proceed to the vote on the matter.
I'm sorry, I didn't understand that.
Okay, if Mr. Kaler says I call the question,
yes,
and no one is opposed to that, it proceeds to the vote on the matter that was being debated. If you wish to continue the discussion, at the time Mr. Kaler called for the question, you say, I wish a vote on the closure.
Okay.
And then the council has to vote. But if no one objects to the calling of the question, it moves. A vote is not required every time someone calls the question, only if a council person wishes to continue the debate.
Well, I understand what you're saying, but I don't agree, because as Robert's Rules of Order was explained to me, that has to go to a vote. Because it's happened before where people think because somebody calls the question that ends the discussion. That's not true.
You are correct. It does not end the discussion. But please remember, Robert's Rules, as they were written in 1913 or wherever they were written, are for a large community hall meeting. they're not for a small legislative body. That's why I was just saying that for small groups, the rule has become, unless someone wishes to challenge the vote, then there is no vote. And they would announce that they wish to have that vote. But you're right. Any person wishing to continue the debate is entitled to have the vote of the council to determine if cloture happens or not.
Okay.
Thank you, Jim, for clarifying that.
What, can I ask what the vote was?
5-2. 5 yeas, 2 noes.
Okay.
Mark and Mark.
Mr. Snyder.
Okay, resolution to allow the Patriot Day's activity on July 3rd. Debbie? Oh.
Here. That's okay. Thank you, Mayor. A meeting was held to coordinate the Patriots Day activities with representatives from the Police, Public Works, Clerk's Department, Fire Department, and Chamber President Janelle Anderson. We reviewed the events and programs that are scheduled this year for Saturday, July 3rd. On your desk tonight was a schedule of events, tentative schedule of events for that day's activities. There are several new changes this year to the 4th of July activities. It is now called Patriots Day, and all of their activities will center around Saturday, July 3rd. They are planning the second year for the Run of America, Rotary Breakfast Parade, flag raising, sports competitions in both the parks, and entertainment, vendors, and the fireworks that evening. Some vendors may set up Friday night, but they will leave after the fireworks on Saturday when the lights come back on. The city will not be responsible for the vendors' equipment throughout the night. As in the past, Hamlet Street is also going to be blocked from 7th to 9th Avenue early that morning, but they might use that area for a equipment, what is it? Oh, that's right, fire engine pull. My mind went blank. And then they'll go ahead and they'll close off that area on Hamlet Street. The committee is working with Public Works and the PD to coordinate use of the city parks for the run and for the parade. We'll have two Public Works employees working in Lions Park that day, and they'll be equipped with cell phones, and that their numbers will be given to the police department and the event chairperson. At approximately 5 p.m., they'll barricade the rest of the area needed for the fireworks. Costs for Public Works that day is estimated at $1,320. Porta potties will be provided for the day's event at approximately $800. We provide the extra garbage containers and pay for those landfill fees, estimated about $650. And then council appropriated $6,000 for fireworks this year. Based upon the meeting that we had with the president chamber, the staff recommends that the council approve the resolution authorizing the use of city property and the public right of way for the Patriots Day activities. And Janelle Anderson is here. Can you answer any questions that you have?
Do you have something you want to say, Janelle, also?
I do.
Okay.
I'll keep it quick. First off, I neglected last time to say thank you. I was so excited I forgot to say thank you for the city stepping in and helping the chamber out. And the dismal position that we don't like that we were in. We're doing much better. As she mentioned, we've got lots of new activities this year. My theory is go big or go home, and I'm not going home. So one of the things that we are wanting to do is we're trying to get a military flyover. It's kind of cool when you get an email from the Pentagon. And I need a signature from City Council. I'm checking with both the Navy and the Air Force to see which one can come. As I was filling out the form, my son walked in and said, "What are you doing?" And I told him, and he said, "Why don't you ask for a helicopter? I'm sure you can guess which one. A helicopter with a repelling serviceman with a twirling flag." So I did. Why not?
Hey, cool.
So I do need some signatures proving to the Pentagon that this is approved by the city, and who would get those papers.
That would,
you need all council members?
I think for the minutes, we need a motion to approve that signature by the mayor, so you can send the minutes as well as that signed document.
Okay. Do you want to stop and do that section? Because I do have just two others.
What type of form of motion do you want on this?
Motion to authorize the mayor to sign the request for military air presence during the
thank you.
Patriot days.
I would make that motion.
Okay, Mark Snyder. Dan, second. Okay. Yep. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay.
All right. Do you want me to send that up there now?
I'll give it to Debbie. She'll give it to us, I guess.
When do you need them back, Janelle?
ASAP. It's always on first come, first serve basis on who gets them, and so I'm wanting to turn them in as soon as possible.
Yeah.
I would love to take it home and fax it in the morning.
Okay.
That would be.
I'm going to need a pen.
D, yeah, that whole section D.
We'll need to make
it's 3 D and E.
We'll need to make a copy of it.
3 D?
Yeah, I can. You can hang on till tomorrow morning. That's no problem.
Oh, okay.
The two other things that I wanted to run by, we have big dreams for the parade, very big dreams for the parade. Wanted to do some extremely patriotic things, and just to kind of throw things out there, just some of the short things that we want to do, is Tommy Tyndale, who's having his truck painted, will be at the front of the parade, and I have a Vietnam veteran, a member of my club, who I've heard lots of stories from, and not all of them were good. And as part of a goodwill gesture that would like to help the city with the Vietnam veterans, we would like to make them honorary somethings of the parade with banners. So the first banner would be all Vietnam vets, the next banner would be all active and veterans, and then the next banner would be in memory of. And we're inviting anyone who fits those categories to walk in the parade that day. We're wanting to, I'm trying to get with the National Guard or the ROTC that they will come in at all cross streets when that first section hits in front of City Hall. They will march in at the cross sections, go up in front of the flag, and that will signal the Pledge of Allegiance down the entire route of the parade. Then the music will come on. I'm still working on this one, how to get it synchronized, the Star Spangled Banner. I would like to get sung the entire route of the parade. I'm sure it's going to be a little bit of a lag, but I'm looking for patriotism. I'm looking for the emotion of the day is what we're looking for. And I really wanted the flyover over the parade, but you can't do that because of horses. That's where I wanted the flyover.
Yeah.
But that's a safety concern, so you can't do that. Tommy Tyndale has done so much for our community for so many years that I'm wondering if the city has an honor that they would like to give him, to him be posted on his truck. I would make the banner, the whatever. If the city, you know, is fine, if they don't, then the chamber will come up with an honor. But I thought where he has done so much for the city of Othello, that would be kind of a neat thing. I always hate to see those things posthumously when they don't get to the benefit of that. I don't know if you know, but he takes care of, I don't know the correct word, of over 300 flags a year for the city in the proper form that they should be. And he is our go-to man on any flag ceremony. Working with the Centennial Committee, he's so key in letting us know the proper procedure and everything, and I just thought it might be very appropriate if the city did have some sort of honor. And I don't need that thing tonight.
Can I get a consensus? Any problems with the council on that? No? Is that all we need, Jim, is just a consensus?
Correct. The council could consider a resolution of appreciation, or the mayor could make a proclamation.
That's what I was going to instruct Eamon to. We'll work on something and bring it back to council.
We normally do this once a year. Recommendations are brought to the mayor and the council. This would be an exception to that for this extraordinary person. So I think it's fitting, and we'll certainly put that together for you.
And then we'll bring it back to council and make sure it's agreeable to everybody. How's that? Okay, great.
All right, and just as you notice, we have a full day of activities. And wouldn't it be fun if the city council had a team for the fire engine pull? Just a challenge.
Fire engine pull?
I already got my own team.
There's quite a buzz in the community about the fire engine pull. So.
I'm winning it. I'm done.
Oh, you are so on.
Just make second place t-shirts for everybody.
Oh, that is a public challenge, and I accept. In the minutes. Any other questions for?
I've just got a
general question. Why did we change it to Patriots Day since Patriots Day is September 11th?
We were looking for a patriotic word, something, because I have been, I don't know if offended is the right word, but somewhat, by Sunfair on 4th of July. How dare we? To me, it was a slap in the face to our country. And we looked at, I Googled, I don't know how many countries and your cities, and looked at their names of days, and Independence Day and Patriots Day came out. And Independence Day is a long word. That's the honest truth of it. It's a long word to say every time and to get on shirts and logos and in type. So we, since those were the two, the board voted on Patriots Day. We wanted to keep it patriotic. There isn't a whole lot, if you look in the DSRs, or however you say that word correctly, there's not a whole lot of words for freedom, liberty, and independence. So.
Any other questions? Well, we appreciate your hard work and all that you're doing. This sounds pretty exciting, so.
Thank you.
I guess the council can talk about whether they're interested in a fire truck pull?
Fire engine pull.
Fire engine
it's
pull.
It's the county fire truck.
Uh-huh.
That will be out there with a rope, six men or 10 women. And the fastest time to pull it, 12 feet wins. And you can pull as many times as you want. There's always a little asterisk by that. In other words, the more you pull it, the more it costs you.
Okay, that's what I thought. Okay.
Each pull is a cost.
Now, the fire department has a bunch of different trucks. Do we get to pick the truck?
Yeah. Actually, the fire department is picking the truck, and I think I know they have a team. I'm sure there's a little, behind the scenes, yeah.
It's a little bad transition. Yeah.
Yep. Council to approve. Okay.
Do we need a motion for that?
Yeah, so I'm just part of
it. Yeah, I would make the motion that we approve a resolution authorizing the city use of city property and public right-of-ways for Patriots Day activities held Saturday, July 3rd, 2010.
Do I have a second?
I'll second it.
Ken Kaler? Okay. Any more discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? We're with you.
Thank you.
Okay, resolution authorizing use of city property for the community worship service on Sunday, July 4th, 2010. Debbie?
This resolution allows the Othello Ministerial Association to use Lions Park for the community worship service scheduled for Sunday, July 4th at 10:30 a.m. They would like to use the stage that will already be in the park for the Patriots Day events for their Sunday service. They've hosted the community worship service in conjunction with the past Sunfair events for more than 20 years. Staff recommends that the council approve the resolution authorizing use of city property for the community worship service to be held on Sunday, July 4th, 2010.
I would make that motion.
Okay, Mark. Charles second. Any discussion, questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, that passes. Thank you, Debbie. Okay, review of 2010 budget. Mike.
Now, this is, I want to clarify what I'm doing here. This is actually reviewing the budget document. I don't want to review the budget. All right. So this won't be getting into why this number and so on. This is just a list about the document itself. And one of the things I learned years ago is and I'm sure it's not just public, finance. It's in the private sector and everywhere else. But this is actually a communication document, and it should be written so that lay people could understand. It shouldn't be written in such accounting terms that the average person couldn't understand it. And so what I really ask you to do is to take that and give me feedback if you think something else could be done to help. I would be an honor to receive any information like that. So I just want to walk through the document just briefly. I don't want to get into a real long thing on this because it starts out like most documents. It has a table of contents, and there's a message in here from the mayor every year, and this is required by state law for the document. there are some things in here that have to be done, and there are other things that we add for interest. And then on page two, beyond the first tab, there's an organization, a city organization chart. So this gives you an idea of who answers to in the city. And I gotta get back to my notes too, but I'm
not sure what I was gonna say. So there's an org chart then, it lists some communities, and then it gives a city profile.
And I, you know, I'm not from Othello. I haven't been here for 4 years yet. So anything you would have to add to that that you think would really be of interest, I would love to get that information. So if you have reference or maybe this is a challenge for you, if you have a question and you want to give me some feedback, I would
really appreciate that. Okay, then in that same section on page 9, there's a heading called governmental accounting. And I know we have some new people on council, even though you've been with the school district or you may have been with the hospital. And they are also governmental accounting entities. They could look a little bit differently, but governmental accounting, one of the terms we use to identify is fund accounting. And on page 71, is our budget ordinance for 2010, and it lists 19 funds. And every one of those funds is a separate accounting entity. Each one of them stands on its own. Nothing is commingled. These are separate standalone entities. So that's kind of a difference in fund accounting as opposed to the private side. And I wanted to make a point of that because we talk about funds a lot. When even on the Main Street project, we say, well, we're getting funding from this fund or we're getting funding from that fund. And then in this document, it talks about the various kinds of funds and what they mean. And when we talk about the water, sewer, and the garbage fund, they're enterprise funds. Their money can't be used to support governmental activities. Their money has to be used to support their own activities, and they have to be self-supporting. And so there's all these reasons for different kinds of funds. There's special revenue funds. We talk about the utility tax fund a lot, and that's a special revenue fund. Simply, it's all utility taxes go into that fund, and by ordinance, the city has developed a way to use that money, and it can only be used that way. Okay, and so that would be a special revenue fund. Okay. Then we go into the next section, and there are department budgets in here. It just kind of goes through, and there's some narrative on each of the departments. In the general fund, because it's the largest operating fund, most of the activity is in the general fund. And because in the general fund we have legislation, administration and finance, we have the police department, the fire department, and we have park and recreation and building and planning. So you'll see all of those departments in here and in under departments, and then we'll start going into other funds, like the tourism fund, and we'll talk about that and show some numbers on it. Statistics. Okay, then it gets into the capital facilities section. And this section, we do a capital facilities plan every year, and it's a 6-year plan. And every year it moves 1 year, of course. And if I'm not mistaken, by doing the capital facilities plan, we make the city eligible for grants and things. So it's very important for us to do this. This doesn't necessarily mean that this is cast in stone and it has to be done. It means that we have a plan, and it could be part of that plan. And then it goes in here and gives descriptions of what a capital facility plan looks like. And then back towards the back, there's a list of projects, and it's by fund. So the totals will be by fund, and then there's a grand total at the end. And it goes out for 6 years, okay?
And then the last page in that section is funding. And the funding, believe me, is not cast in stone. It's they're kind of what ifs. And so on the revenue side, we show maybe use a 3% and it increases by 3% every year. And on the expenditure side, because of inflation or something, I use a number and it increases every year. So it's just this is just kind of a what if. Okay, now the part I always get excited about is the detailed budget section. This is kind of my baby, you know what I mean? And we start out with budget ordinance, and then there's just a lot of numbers. I mean, aren't numbers fun? I love numbers, no? I mean, it just doesn't get any better than this, you know? But a lot of this can just make your eyes swim. It's just, it goes way overboard, you know what I mean? But if you get to page 82, I just wanted to point this out. And this is for the general fund right here. And there are two graphs right there. One of them includes beginning fund balance and ending fund balance. The other leaves both of those out. So the one that leaves them out, if you look at like the 2010 budget, the revenues are 4.1 million and the expenditures are 4.6 million. So what does that tell you? It tells you that we're going to spend more money than we're going to bring in. So that means we're going to use reserves. And that's why I created this one, so that it becomes very clear to you. In other words, I'm not trying to hide anything by putting in fund balances. Well, one thing that we do is, every year is we put together what we call a balanced budget that we present to council. And a balanced budget means that for operations, expenditures cannot exceed revenue. Okay? And that's a balanced budget. And we present the balanced budget to council. Then we give them a list of capital, which are one-time expenditures. And then you get to make a choice as to how you want the capital expenditures that you want to choose to fund that year and how you want to fund it. We have reserve funds. We use, in this particular year, we council chose to use the reserve out of the general fund to fund capital. So that's why that expenditure number is higher than the revenue. It's okay. I'm not going to belabor that. I just wanted to kind of point out, so you have this is the same information exactly, but this leaves the fund balance out of it. And then, because this is a large, the general fund is our largest operating fund, then there's a graph for each department after that. And the nice thing about graphs is, to me, is they're very visual. I'll give you an example right here. Here's Park and Recreation. It's just going uphill. It just goes like this. And you think to yourself, wow, what's going on in Park and Recreation? Well, I think it was back in 2007, we started the pool again. And the pool requires salaries and benefits, and there's a lot of expenditure to keep the pool running. So that added to it. And then every year since then, we have spent more capital on park and recreation every year. It has increased every year up to 2010. So you can see it very graphically. And now I'm going to show you another example. On page 89 of the library budget, the last column, there's nothing there. And you might say to yourself, my gosh, what happened to the library? We were a pass-through for the library. The city annexed the library back to the county a few years ago. The city really doesn't own the library anymore. But Mid-Columbia Library District that runs the library wanted us to be the go-between Adams County Library. So we did that for a few years, and then this last year, we stepped out of that. So we are no longer the go-through. So that expenditure dropped off, and of course the revenue side dropped off too. It isn't like we made any money out of it. It's just that we're not passing people money. And then after that, they're all the detail. If you guys want detail on revenue, if you want to know exactly what kind of revenues we're doing and what kind of expenditures, this is all the detail for you.
every department. So that's the budget. And if you have any questions on it, or if you have any recommendations that you'd like to see, then I would be more than happy to take those. Are there any questions?
Mark?
Just to clarify this for everybody, including me, but we have like the waters and enterprise account, and you say there's no commingling in that. But I believe if you look in the budget, you'll see part of the water expenditure, it goes to the general fund.
Right.
Yeah. And council probably needs to, if they see that, needs to know, at least my understanding is that's to pay for those employees that are using resources to manage the water accounts.
There's two things going on, that the enterprise funds are sending money to the street fund for that reason. The street fund now, what we used to do prior to this, what we called allocation, is we used to take a street person's payroll and put a percentage of it in water, part of it go into sewer, part of it go into parks, and part of it go into streets. So every time they would get a bill down in Public Works to code for our accounts payable people to pay, they had to break everything out. It took them hours and hours and hours of admin time to do that. And so they actually contracted with a company to come in, and they bought software that will handle the whole thing. So now everything is in the street fund. All the salaries and benefits are in the street fund. And a lot of other costs as well, a lot of supplies and a lot of other things. And so what they put it into this software they have, and the software says, okay, this month the water fund owes the street fund this much, and sewer owes them this much, and the park department owes them this much. And we call it the public works allocation, and that's what Mark is referring to. The second thing in the enterprise funds that is going on is they send money to the general fund to cover overhead. And that's for the administrator, it's for payroll, it's for accounts payable, it's for all those other issues. So that's like that is a true cost to run the utility, but it just happens to be internal to the city instead of external to the city. But that is a good point that the person showed that.
How is our revenue doing for this year?
Revenue's doing pretty good. We should probably start getting some property tax in, and so I can start smiling again for a while. But sales tax is down a little bit. I've been watching that very carefully, and I'm going to continue to report on that regularly in the event that we need to, if there would be a decision to make a cutback in our budget this year or something like that. But it isn't that severe. It's only about 6.3%. It's $81,000, and a lot of things could happen to turn that around. And but we'll just keep our eye on it. Other than that, all of our other revenue, our utility tax revenues are coming in very, very strong, and it looks really good right now. So I think we're doing well.
Any other questions for Mike?
Amen.
Tim, I have one.
Oh, Amen?
Mike, you wanted to mention the Main Street Project Fund creation.
Oh, yeah, I was asking Amen today. I'm going to bring to council, I would like to establish a construction fund for the Main Street Project. And it needs to be approved by council and by ordinance, I believe.
Resolution
will do it. Resolution can do it. Because revenue will be coming in, and we'll be making expenditures out of it. And so it has to be an approved fund, and that's one of those funds that's set up, it's a 300 number. But the nice thing is I can show all the revenues that are going to be coming into that fund, and it's all in one place, and all the expenditures are in one place. So we can track it very easily and always know what's going on. And I'll bring that to council on, what's that, a week, 2 weeks?
The 24th.
Yeah, 2 weeks. I'll bring that to council.
Thank you, Mike. Okay, Bias Online Contract Review. Mike?
Yes. Back in October, we brought an agreement to council to do online payments for utility bills via credit cards and
and other electronic payments. And our council member Kaler asked to have a review of that in 6 months. And this is that review. And the review data was taken from the first 4 months of 2010. I have some spreadsheets here. This is the data. You can see the four columns: January, February, March, and April. And in each column it shows the date, and then it shows the amount that came in on that date, and it shows the number of payments. So in the very first one, it was on January 1st, $495.20, and that represented 7 payments. And so it goes down, and let me get rid of some of this stuff. I don't know why this always happens when I come up here to do this. It must like me or something. Okay. And so then the totals are at the bottom. It shows the total dollars, and it shows the total number of payments. And as you can see, it's fairly consistent, around 260 to 275 payments a month, and around $22,000 to $23,000 a month. And then if I scroll this up, you can see the total billings for 4 months. That means what Express Bill Pay billed us for their services was $947. And then the total transactions were 1,061, so the average per transaction is 89 cents, okay? So that gives you an idea of that. Then I want to go into a couple of things here.
Mike, you might have said this, I might have spaced it off, but this is electronic transactions, correct?
That's correct, yes.
What is the total transaction? What's the total utility bills that are paid?
Oh, you know, dollar-wise?
No, by account.
I think we have like between 1,700 and 2,000 accounts. Right now, this represents, I think I put a percentage on it. Oh, yeah. Express bill pay equals about 13%.
13%, okay. Bills. Okay, that's what I was trying to get to. Yeah. Okay.
And I've been thinking about putting out another flyer with our utility billing to mention it again, because we've only done that once, and to get people kind of alerted to it again, and those who maybe passed it by the first time might show some interest in it. Because our staff really likes this. It's really convenient for our staff, because we don't have to rekey those in when we receive the payments. They are downloaded into our system electronically. And another feature, and I think I mentioned it in the narrative and in the agenda, is I don't know if you pay bills through your bank, but I do the bill payer for my bank. So I pay my light bill and I do all this stuff through the bill payer. Well, a lot of people do that for their utility bills. And what our staff had to do every time those come in, they didn't come in with a stub or anything. So they would have to handwrite a stub. Because when we do cash management, we have a pile of stubs and we have a pile of checks. And they're supposed to equal each other. Mm-hmm. And you know, we run tapes on them and we do all this cross-checking to make sure that we're adding everything up right. Well, so they had to do all this by hand. Well, it turns out with Express Bill Pay, these now go to Express Bill Pay and they're turned into electronic payments. So we don't have to handle them anymore. I want to tell you what, that is a big thing for our staff, because I think in one of these, if I wasn't mistaken, I don't know if I wrote that down, one of the months, it was like 166 out of the 260 payments were checks that had been converted. And so that was a big staff saving. That is really a big savings. That really helped. Anyway, I won't be able to that. Now, I put a copy of a bill in here.
Thank you.
copy of a bill. All right. And I'll get the red marker thing. The thing I was really interested in is this rate right here. I wanted to go back to our schedule of fees and see how this matched up. And so, I could find the 38 cents and I could find the 18 cents. The 20 cents, here's the 100, this is 166 checks right here that were converted. And they're converting them for 20 cents. Actually, our fee schedule said they were going to convert them for 23 cents. So we saved a little bit on that. And then the $1.50, it was a fee. And then the $55 is our monthly cost. It's kind of anyway, and it's in the fee schedule. Well, right up here is this number, $19, and it's called a statement fee. Well, I couldn't find that anywhere. I couldn't find it, and I'll take you to the other schedule right here and show you what I'm talking about. I couldn't find it in here anywhere. Here's the 18 cents, here's the 38 cents, here's the 23 cents that they're doing for 20 cents. Here's the $55, but there's no $19. And so I called Bias and started talking with Mark at Bias. And he said, well, let me call them and find out what's going on. And we talked today. And they said, oh, we're just recouping some of our bank costs so we can keep our prices lower. And I said, whoa, time out. I don't know. So I wanted to let you know what's going on. And I'm going to tell Abias that we entered into a 36-month agreement with them, and that is not part of the agreement. And if Abias wants to pay that, they can go ahead and pay it. It's less than $700 for 3 years. And they certainly can afford to pay. And then next time when we enter into the agreement, if they want to add that as on this schedule, that's all another issue. But I don't feel comfortable in paying for something that we never agreed on. So I'll make sure that's taken care of. So are there any questions that I could answer?
Mike, I got a couple here. Reason I asked for that 6 months, I just kind of wanted to see where we was at with it, and it looks to me like if these things average out about 89 cents for each one of these transactions, why I don't think we can do it by hand for that. So I think it's pretty worthwhile what it is, and I think in the future it's going to be more and more that way. One of these days you're going to phase out of checks and all of that, it'll all be done this way. So I think it's a good gesture and a good start to get it rolling.
Well, we take the $19 out of there, we lost that.
Yeah, well.
We'll save another penny on that.
Any more questions for Mike?
It's just a general comment to the whole process. Is I do it electronically and just give them you have to give them your bank account number. And it's just you get an email saying it's you're going to take this payment out, and then it's getting another email says this payment's been taken out, and I still have my statement sent to me. I think that's to be an option. I'm still a chicken that way. I don't like to be totally electronic, but I like something in my hand. But it's automatic, and you're well advised with your email, and it's got to save, as Ken said, you know. Processing down here by hand has got to cost more than this system, and so I don't know if we'll ever make it mandatory, but I hope, like Ken says, we head that direction. Have you had a case where somebody's given their account number or a credit card and it's not sufficient funds? And
we've had about 3 or 4, we haven't had a lot, and there is a process associated with it, of course, but we have had it. And we're just going to charge it back to the utility customer. We have had it. Kind of surprised me.
But you probably get that anyway with people coming and handing out checks at the counter once in a while, that some come back in as of SF.
Yeah, we do it.
Well, thank you, Mike. Okay, renewal of gas and diesel contract with Lawrence Oil. Amen.
Your last item on the agenda tonight is a renewal of the gas and diesel contract with Lawrence Oil. Lawrence Oil has had this contract with the city for a number of years. Several years ago, we went out to bid, and Lawrence Oil is the one that bid for it. The issue tonight is, will the City Council consider a First Amendment to the contract that extends the contract 1 year? The current contract expires July of this year, and we're asking that the Council extend it 1 year to July of 2011. Staff recommends approval. They've had good service, and the city staff enjoys the level of service they receive.
Questions? Okay, do I hear a motion to approve the amendment to the agreement with Lawrence Oil?
I so move.
Ken Kaler?
Second.
Who?
Kim.
Ken Johnson? Okay. Any more questions? Okay, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same? Okay, that passes. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, unfinished business. Okay, new business. Mark?
The tennis team for the high school is just finishing up their season. And as you recall, less than a year ago, we put in new tennis courts. And as a tennis dad, I would just like to say thank you to the council and to the community and to staff. The tennis courts were just awesome this year, and it made the community look good. It stepped up the game that they were used to playing on, consistent surfaces. So as a dad who has a daughter on the high school tennis team, thank you for that investment.
Good, thank you.
Make a comment on the tennis fencing. As you know, we put in the tennis courts last year. If you look at the west end fence, you'll notice several pushouts on it. It's getting bubbles. And those are from soccer players inside the tennis court kicking the ball against the fence. So we're going to have to address that. It's going to tear apart that fence.
For the record, I didn't know we had a tennis team. Joking.
Yeah, I'd like to mention Jay and I and Chief Steve went out and visited three businesses last Wednesday. Ace, U.S. Bank, and Timeout. And actually, you know, I really walked away feeling really proud about our city and how well the government is involved in the citizens. The manager at U.S. Bank says that off and on she has girls that work late, tellers and stuff, whatever they do to close the bank down, I'm not sure. But and they call the police department there within there a couple minutes and get an escort out to their car. And she said she's been around other communities and you just don't see that. I mean, that's a neat feature because they respond quickly. Ken had mentioned the same thing at Ace Hardware, that when they have issues with theft or whatever, they're there right away. They're very helpful. Positive comments for Jay also. It was very, very, well, I guess when it was over with, I was really, really proud about how well our city really does respond to its citizens. You know, that's one of the things we're out trying to gather information is how well is our city government doing? You know, because we want to be partners with our businesses, so that was really, really neat. I want to encourage you, if you're interested in doing it, we're not going this week, but we'll be going again next week because of the mayoral luncheon this week. So, but other than that, any other new business? Mark?
I have one more. There was an accident, traffic accident, in the vicinity of First Extended and Broadway. I have no idea if it was a line of sight issue, but you might talk about that as staff, and if it is, forward that to Department of Transportation.
Okay.
Where was that? The new development on the state gate over there. It was right
there. It's First Extended and Broadway. I don't know if it was related to line of sight or not, but if it was, it would be good.
I think that
good
was a
case for us.
Somebody rear-ended. Somebody was turning onto First off of Broadway, and they got rear-ended, I think.
I don't know.
That's what it looks like.
Thank you.
Any other new business? Okay, mayor announcements. The Centennial Weekend activities are planned for May 20th through the 23rd. The 20th is the museum. They're having a special program there.
That's at the Senior Center.
At the Senior Center? Okay. And then starting the 22nd and 23rd will be the main ceremonies for that of May. And then, of course, the mayoral luncheon is Wednesday at the Senior Center. And one of the things we started doing is inviting businessmen to come. Last week we had Simplot manager there, this month we're having Ray Cooper, the plant manager for McCain's. And you guys are invited to come if you want to. It starts at 12 o'clock. Also, union negotiations are May 20th at 8:30 at City Hall, so council members Darrow, Deaver, and Kaler plan all day. So, he'll be running. Other than that, anything before I hit Dan?
In connection with Mike and his wireless money collection thing, I read here a while back that a guy in New York State dug about 50 feet down into New York, and he found a copper wire. And so he said that New York had telephone lines 100 years ago. And about 2 weeks after that, some guy in California dug down about 100 feet, and he found copper wire. So he said that California had telephone lines 200 years ago. And a guy out here by Lynn got out his backhoe, and he dug a big hole down there about 125 feet deep, and he didn't find any copper wire, so he put it on the internet that Washington State was wireless 300 years ago.
Okay. This means adjourned. Good one, Dan. Okay.
Okay.
Does she want me to suck on this thing?
Note the time you lost control of me.
I guess.
Let's get out of here.
Not too late. Didn't run too late tonight.
Okay. She wanted to, what? Sign somewhere.
I thought she said
3D. I went to a movie the other day. It was that way. Event site certification approved by agent of site authority for the site use.
This is where you print title and
he likes that. But he will be playing hockey in the morning, but usually by then
there's. I hope it's the right one. Maybe I better wait to make sure. She left, didn't she?
Yes.
Yeah.
Chris loves it.
Did you?
He's going to be out there. He'll be out there with Dakota again.
Debbie, 3D, right? What? D, 3D? Okay. And middle edition?
It's right there.
What's that? Oh. Telephone number. Five, six, eight, six, right? City Hall? Yeah. You know, I don't think about it.